Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 4. 1 Kings, chapter 4. We'll read verses 26 through 30 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Kings, chapter 4, verses 26 through 30. First Kings chapter 4, verses 26 through 30. And Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. And those officers provided victual for King Solomon and for all that came unto King Solomon's table, every man in his month. They lacked nothing. Barley also and straw for the horses and dromedaries brought they unto the palace where the officers were, every man according to his charge. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. Let's finish on verse 30 together. Ready? And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and all the wisdom of Egypt. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Thank you for your presence here. We've heard your people sing and sing so well and sing praise back to you and about you. We've read the word of God aloud, and Father, what a wonderful sound that is to hear your words echoing through this building. And yet, the preaching of the word of God is the focus of it all. The Holy Spirit, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen, change our hearts, and change our lives so we could reach more folks for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Recently, well, let me say this maybe before I get started. There are many visitors here today. Let me tell you a little bit of how we handle things during this part of our service, this most serious part of the morning. We all kind of settle down. We only step out of the service if an emergency arises. We don't have our cell phones on or our beepers on or our weed whackers on at this time because, of course, a weed whacker going off right in the middle of the service would interrupt things. The children are stilled. We don't talk. We don't show disrespect to the people behind us. We all zero in on the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God. And I know you wouldn't want to embarrass yourself and go outside those guidelines. That's what we do here. And I want to thank you for agreeing to help us with it this morning. I was recently in our community, and I was talking with someone. Some people were standing there, and while we were talking, I invited these people who were strangers to me, I invited them to come to our church. And they asked me this question. They said, well, what kind of church is it? What kind of church is it? Oh, my mind began to race. It is amazing how many things flew through my mind before my mouth kicked in gear. Now, if I were you, I'd try that sometime, thinking before you speak. But boy, my old brain was a-racing, and I thought, well, we're an independent fundamental Baptist church. Now, this is what I was thinking. I said, we're an independent fundamental Baptist church. Independent meaning we're not controlled by any denomination. We're controlled by God and the Bible. Then I thought, well, if we're fundamental, in other words, we believe the fundamentals of the Bible. We're not changing and going down some new modern path. We believe the old Bible, the old way. We believe the doctrines of the Bible and the fundamental doctrines. And we're Baptist. This is not a Protestant church. We're a New Testament Baptist church. And all these things are racing through my mind. I'm thinking we're a King James Bible church, and we believe the King James Bible is one of a kind, not one of many. And I thought, maybe that's the answer. And we're not legalists. We believe in separation from the world. The average person doesn't even understand what the term legalist means. We believe you're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. We believe that you separate from the world you're supposed to after you get saved. But those were the things that were racing through my mind, and these people were standing around, and they said, what kind of a church is it? And I hope I represented you well in my answer, because I looked at the person that asked the question, and I said, I think if you'll come to our church, you'll find that our church is a church with largeness of heart. With largeness of heart. earlier, you heard a scripture read. I had been reading in my Bible, and I came across the verse in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29, where the Bible says, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore." I had been studying that verse. When they asked the question, what kind of a church is it, that those words, largeness of heart, had just stuck in my spirit. And I don't know how all those other things did not come out. I'm not ashamed of all those other things that we are, but I would like our church to be known as a church that has largeness of heart. I don't want a church with fame. I'd like to have a church that has largeness of heart. You see, you want a church with political power? No. No, we'd just like to have a church that has largeness of heart. You say, you want a church with a large net worth? No, I think I'd just like to have a church with a large heart. You want a church with a big attendance? It really doesn't matter to me. I would just like to have a church with largeness of heart. See, you're looking for a popular church? It'd be fine, but that's really not the goal. What are we looking for? I'd like to have a church that is known for largeness of heart. You looking for a church with a national reputation? No. Just a church with largeness of heart. You want a church that can control the fundamental Baptist world as it is? No, and no church should do that. That's why we're independent fundamental Baptists. But no, not at all. I'm not trying to control anybody or anybody else's church. I'd just like for people to be able to look at our church and say, that's a church with largeness of heart. You want a church with exquisite facilities? I'd like to give our people the best that we can, but the exquisite facilities would come way, way on down the line, but I'd like to see at the top of the list largeness of heart. You want a church with rich attenders? No, and I don't have one. No, we're not trying to reach rich people to come to our church. They're welcome here just like the poor, and the poor are welcome just like the rich. The ground is level at the foot of the cross, and whether you're poor or rich, I'm sorry. I'm glad if you've achieved in life, but that doesn't impress me. Now, we still want your money, of course. But no, I'm looking for a church with largeness of heart. You want a church with secular clout? No, I'm looking for a church with spiritual clout. A church with largeness of heart. And folks, a church is not made up of these bricks and the wood and the lights. The church is made up of the people. If you're going to have a church that has largeness of heart, then you must have a people that are known as people with largeness of heart. I'm going to give you something today. I stumbled across a passage of Scripture that just delighted me from the inside out. Acts chapter 14, verse number 17, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, and that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our heart with food and gladness." The Bible talks about hearts being filled with food. I think what I'm going to give you today is I'm going to give you some heart food. Because if your heart's going to grow, it's like anything else, it must be fed. And here the Bible talks about a heart being fed. I'd like to feed your heart today so that your heart might grow. So I'm about to give you some miracle grow for the heart. The Bible said here in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse number 29, it says, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore." Here the Bible says that God provided Solomon with largeness of heart. even as the sand of the sea. In other words, there was a large number of things that Solomon had learned to love. We're not talking about things, but we're talking about those things that are important to God. And I think this, I think you and I, we need to be careful that we don't get in such a hurry in our lives that we miss out, that life is about people. And God's given us a heart, and we're not just talking about that physical organ now. We're talking about the seat of your emotions and where love and compassion come from. Let me ask you a question. Would anyone say that you have largeness of heart? Because you see, every single person that's a member of this church, you are a contributor to this goal. And it's an honorable goal, folks, to be a church that is known. Not just a church with a heart. I'm talking about a church with largeness of heart. We need to have a heart for God. And though this is not even a point in the outline, I'll get to the outline in just a moment. Let me say to you, folks, I really want you to understand you need to have a heart for God. I so long for everybody in this building to really know Him. This morning, it was about 4 o'clock this morning, and I was praying for our church, and I was praying for the services, and I thought, God, I just want our people to really know You. You know, it's not a spiritual game. He's there. He's real. And I long for you to have that fulfilled feeling and a confidence that He's your God and He loves you, and I want you to love Him back. I want you to have a real relationship, and I want your relationship with God to be dependent on me or on anybody else. I want you to have a relationship with God. But I'm going to tell you something. As you grow in your relationship with God, you're going to have a heart for people. Because God loves people. One of the ways that we're going to see that you have a relationship with God is by the way you handle and love people. People that don't love people, there's something blocking a flow of love between them and God. Because if God has affected you, He's going to affect you on the way you treat mankind. I call this simple sermon a church with largeness of heart. If you came to our church to be dazzled today, you won't be. If you came to our church today to find out what we're all about, you will discover that in the next few minutes. A church with largeness of heart. A church with largeness of heart for the bus kids. If you came on our property today, you'll notice there's some red, white, and blue limousines that we park out here. That's because we believe there are people that need to come to church that may not be able to come unless somebody went to get them and transport them. Many times, not in all the cases, but at many times, they're young people where their parents maybe could not afford to bring them or maybe would not take the time to bring them. Many times, it's poor people, and you just happen to be in a church that loves poor people. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. You know something, those of you that sat in these pews this morning and you rode in on a bus, I want you to know something. I'm honored to be your preacher. And I love you. You're welcome here. You're not a second-class citizen here. You're as important as the millionaire that's in our church. By the way, if you are that millionaire, please come by and let me know. I think we need to have largeness of heart. Why? For the underprivileged. See, I believe that God blesses a church that loves the poor, but I'm not loving them to get the blessing. I'm loving them because they need love. And if the blessing comes or not, it doesn't matter to me. I think we ought to love them. A few weeks ago, Easter Sunday, I think we gave almost 40 hams away to families on our bus routes trying to feed them because we wanted to make sure that they had the same kind of Easter that those of us that have jobs, those of us that have a little money would have. We made sure that the children that came in on our bus routes had Easter candy, and we tried to show them a good time. Not all of them might get those things at home, and we wanted to make sure that they could. You bus captains and bus workers, let me remind you of something. You're doing the work that Jesus would have done had he been alive in our day and age, because I think Jesus would have gathered to him the little children and said, "Don't stop them from coming to me. Bring them to me." I don't know. Is Mariah in here right now? Yeah, little Mariah. I think she comes on the Winchester bus route. Mariah has spinal bifida, and if you saw her, I think Mariah's probably, around sixth grade or somewhere near that age. What a sweet little girl. If you've ever seen her, she sits way down in her wheelchair. Matter of fact, if you look at her wheelchair from the back, you might not even know that she's in there because her back is so mangled. The number of operations that Mariah would need to straighten her body out would be just incredible. But I'll tell you what, I'm glad a bus captain goes down to Winchester, Virginia and brings little Mariah on our bus route. When you see Mariah in the hallway, you won't miss her when you see her. She'll probably be smiling. You stop and greet her and you tell Mariah that she's welcome at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I don't know how other churches feel about it. Maybe they think it would be an inconvenience, but Mariah is not an inconvenience. There are others that would say, but what can she contribute? And to me, a church that just wants what people can contribute do not understand what the New Testament church is really all about. We're not trying to get people to see what we can get out of them. We're trying to get people to see what we can put into them. A church with largeness of heart for the bus ministry. Secondly, a church with largeness of heart for missions. Romans 5:5, the Bible talks about the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts. We ought to have a love for the souls of men. Listen, folks, as we have our missions conference each year and we ask people to contribute money above their tithe for helping us reach people around the world, you don't get to see all those people that are reached, but let me guarantee you they are being reached. And I want a church that has largeness of heart for the people that are underprivileged around the world. You say, what do you consider underprivileged? The most underprivileged person on the face of the earth is somebody that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You may be rich and you might be worth millions and millions and millions of dollars, but if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you're poor. You're poor. The bus kid that's 5 years old in this building that lives in an old beat-up house trailer that doesn't have enough heat in the winter but has trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior is richer than a multimillionaire that lives in a mansion on the hilltop that does not know Jesus as Savior. But all around the world, there are people that do not know Jesus. I think of our missionary, Biz Larice. Some of you met Biz. He's a missionary to Haiti. The filthy living conditions, and his upcoming baby will be born in the country of Haiti. And I want us to have a heart. I want us to have largeness of heart for the missionaries. I think of James Ortiz and his family, missionaries to Nepal. And this is my daughter-in-law Corey's mom and dad. And I'm thinking about how that communism is strong in that area. And 95% of that area is Hindu. I wonder how lonely it is there when it comes to fellowship with people of like faith. I want us to have largeness of heart for the mission field. And largeness of heart, I think of Brother Willis from down in Panama. Some of you remember he came and he preached for us. Remember, it wasn't long after that he had been with us. He was diagnosed with throat cancer and a big old knot began to swell up on his throat. I want you to know he's still preaching, and I want you to know he's come through it okay. It was there where one night after the services, I had gone to the mission field. They pointed over to a man that was a blind man. I said, "That man right there is the church janitor." He said, "It's the best janitor we've ever had." He said, "At night, we shut all the doors and lock him in, and he feels his way through the entire church building, and he cleans the church building, and he's blind." You wonder why that would be of interest to us, because this is a church with largeness of heart. Recently, I was talking with one of our fine men who said he feels like maybe God may be leading him to the mission field, and I'm so excited about it. He's a man with largeness of heart. Say, preacher, what do we do when people ask what kind of church we are? Well, we stand for something, and I'm not afraid for you to tell them that for which we stand. But while you're busy telling them those other things for which we stand, could you throw in there a little something about a people with largeness of heart? Thirdly, I want us to be a church with largeness of heart for hurting people. 2 Thessalonians 2:17, it talks about the comforting of hearts. Oh, we ought to be a church that comforts the hearts of those that hurt. I'm thinking of people that are hurting because of illness. I think of Debbie Davis, Ken Davis Sr., his wife Debbie. Boy, has Debbie been through it. She's had strokes and had an amputation, and she's just not well. And I want people like that to know that we care. I think of Mary Vest, and Mary, when she was healthy, would sit right back here in this section. Some of you would have seen her with the oxygen up to her nose, and now she's got cancer and possibly facing an amputation because her diabetes has gotten out of control and she's got some sores on her body. And I just wish we could make it go away, but maybe we can't. But I tell you what we could do as a church. We could be a church with largeness of heart. We could love people that are having a tough time, and when their hearts are heavy and when they're not well, we could be a church with largeness of heart. I was thinking of Brother Chapman, and he went on the golf outing yesterday, and I was so pleased. He cares for his dear wife, Mrs. Chapman, and I was thinking of how now the disease that is in her body and how brittle her bones are, and her bones are so brittle, just break like a toothpick. She wants to come back to church so badly. And the illness that people face, I think of Mrs. Gillum. What a sweet and happy lady. Just recently had cancer some years ago, and now she's had to have a bypass surgery. I got a telephone call that one of our children was at home and fell from about 15 foot, a second story window, fell out the window onto pavement, right on his face. Oh, I can't tell you what it's like going to the hospital for something like that. Little Connor Shade. I went to the hospital, and as I so often do, right before I walked into the emergency room, I took a great, big, deep breath and said, Lord, help me. Help me to help. I walked in, and his face was all scraped up, and he's a bit bloody, and his lips were swollen, and there was Mama. And I said, well, have you heard anything? And they said, well, the tests are coming back in just a moment. As she and I stood there, miraculously, when the doctor walked in, he said, well, folks, there's no brain damage, and there's no spinal cord injury, and he's got some fractures in his face. He's lost some blood, but he had a pretty bad bloody nose. You have to understand, second story, flat onto the pavement, I could understand a guy having a bloody nose. And I thought, what a miracle. What a miracle. And you know, folks, I don't know what you went through this week, but somebody else probably went through something a little tougher. And I'm just recommending to us as a church that we be a church of largeness of heart. Maybe your hurt has come because of another, maybe forsaken by your mate, and you're a bit embarrassed and lonely and heartbroken because of it. And those of you that pass judgment on those that are going through a tough time, could I recommend that you humble yourself just a little? Because that which has happened to another could come your way. It may come your way just to humble you out of your arrogance. And I just don't know any other way to say it. But there are young people here that have been forsaken by mom or forsaken by dad. And there are husbands that have been forsaken by wives and wives forsaken by husbands. And in a moment you'll hear me say, this is a church that loves the family and loves what the family stands for. And keep your family together. But oh, should we not show mercy and kindness and goodness to those people who are hurting because they've been hurt or forsaken by another. Then there are those that are hurting. They're hurting because the evil one has tempted them. And they've sinned. But even people that have sinned still hurt. They still have feelings. Whether the injury where they bleed was caused by themselves or caused by another, they still bleed. The evil one tricks someone into doing what the evil one is good at tricking them into. And we need to realize that as the sin begins to, the pain of sin comes upon them, they still need someone that will say, I love you. And you're going to be okay. Largeness of heart. I don't know what kind of church you want to be a part of, but I know what kind of church I want to be a part of. Oh, I want to be a part of an independent, fundamental Baptist church that believes the King James Bible and a church that believes in separation from the world. But you know something, folks? Let's not miss, really. We're supposed to love people. Largeness of heart. Not just heart. There are plenty of churches that have a little heart. No largeness of heart. I want a church that has largeness of heart for the lost. The Bible talks about in 1 Samuel 10:26 a band of men whose hearts God has touched. Hearts that have been touched by God. Could I ask you, how's the spiritual condition of your heart? I thank God that those of you that have been with us through the spring, we had a 4-week spring attendance campaign. And I don't have spring attendance campaigns just to try to get big attendances. We have spring attendance campaigns to try to reach people. To try to reach people. Over 120 people in 4 weeks walk the aisles of this church, getting on their knees, trusting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We ought to have largeness of heart for those that are not born again. I'll remind you of something that is so simple. There is a hell. I don't want anybody to go there. Not my worst enemy. There is a heaven. And I want everybody there. I hope that's not too shallow for you theologians. But there is a heaven. And there is a hell. And it is an issue. And a church is supposed to do everything they can to keep people out of that hell and to get them into that heaven. Largeness of heart. Yesterday, as we spent a little time with the men, we were golfing, and Brother Aaron Chris was driving our golf cart, and I got saved again just to make sure. But Aaron Chris and I were talking, and he talked about how he had the opportunity to shoot a big gobbler this week, I think up here in, maybe it's up here in Pennsylvania or Maryland it was, and how excited he was about it. And I was excited for him. And then he began to tell me another story about how this last week he won a businessman to Jesus Christ. He said, "Preacher, never would have thought in my younger days I'd ever say anything like this. But I was more thrilled and energized by winning someone to Jesus Christ than I was by shooting that big turkey." Oh my. There's a heaven. There's a hell. We're supposed to be doing something about it. Largeness of heart. Not just heart. Not just heart. Largeness of heart. Pastor Owens, what kind of church is that you have out there? Well, we're independent, we're fundamental, we're Baptist, we're King James Bible, we have standards, yes we do. We have more depth. There's another step. We love people. I'm not ashamed of that. Somehow fundamentalism gets this idea you're almost supposed to be hateful, and that's ridiculous. We hate sin and we hate the devil, but everybody else, we're working real hard. Having largeness of heart. You hear about the blonde that went to the doctor and said, "Doctor, I'm experiencing heart pain." He said, "Well, point to the part that really hurts." And she pointed to her chest, and She went, oh. He said, do you hurt anywhere else? She said, well, I hurt here in my abdomen. She touched it and she went, oh. And then he said, do you hurt anywhere else? She said, I hurt down here on my leg. And she pointed to it and touched it and went, oh. And the doctor said, ma'am, you have a broken finger. We want largeness of heart for the hurting. A church which has largeness of heart for the family. I want to strengthen families. To those of you that there's a mom and a dad and there are children in the family, I want you to know I'm committed to keeping it that way. I want the kids to grow up with mom and dad at home, and I want them to be close. I want children close to their parents and parents close to their children. I want happy marriages and happy homes, and we want to heal families. To even those where maybe there's not a mom or a dad at home, you're still a family and you can be a family and keep working at it. And we love you and we want to help you. A church with largeness of heart. I want a church with largeness of heart. I'm thinking of our veterans. You know, the Bible talks about in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 5, it talks about now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. I want us to have a pure heart toward things. You're in a church that respects our veterans, and you're in a church that respects those that have helped to keep our country free. I thank God for those people. I don't know if she's here this morning, but we have a dear sweet lady that sits up in this part of the balcony. Her name is Kay Keys. Oh, there she is. I respect Kay very much. She does what she can to be an encouragement to the veterans, and I thank God for that. I thank God for that very much. I look back here and I see Brian Kelvington, and I was thinking of Roger Osherman, men that went to Iraq. And we're glad you're home. And I respect you, and I thank you. To every veteran in here, I thank you. I admire you. And this church respects you. I want a church that has largeness of heart for those that have helped keep our country free. A church with largeness of heart for those that are mentally challenged. The Bible in Deuteronomy 28:47 mentions the words gladness of heart. We ought to bring gladness to the hearts of people. We have some Sunday school classes here that are for our special needs people. Some would be autistic, others would be learning disabled, but they have special needs. We have a class called the Pathfinder class. And that's for our adult men who are educable slow, if you will. I'm looking over here at Terry Shane, one of my buddies. Terry, wave at me, if you will. Right there he is. I love Terry. Every service, I leave the platform and I walk down this aisle way over here. Standing outside the doors, Terry. Every service puts his hand out and says, preacher, that's good. That's good. I'm proud of you, Terry. Terry's an important part of our church. Very important part of our church. I think of we have a class called the Sunshiner class, and that's for our adult ladies who have some special needs. And they're welcome here. One of the friendliest gals in our church is Hope. This is Hope. Hope, wave at me for a second. That's Hope. Hope's my friend. Hope's my buddy. Hope makes me cookies. It's about time, Hope, for you to get me some more cookies sometime soon. Well, I come to church and I walk in this door over here and almost every service, here comes running Hope, just waiting for the preacher to arrive. I want a church where Terry Shane is welcome and Hope Martin is welcome. I'm thinking of, we have another class, it's called the Joy Bringers class. It's for the children that are have some special needs, and they have different levels of special need. I think of one of the sweetest little boys you'll ever meet in your life is Jordan Devereaux back here. Jordan, could you come up for a second? Would you like to come up here? You don't have to if you don't want to. That's all right. He's shy. His mom's not, but he is. I wish you could see what I see during the song service. Brother Nash is up here leading the singing, and Jordan back here is leading the singing. Or maybe Jordan's leading the singing, and Brother Nash is following the lead. I'm not sure which. But what a delight Jordan is. And Jordan, I want you to know, your preacher loves you. And you're important to us around here. What a delightful boy. What a delightful boy. And Brenda, you're doing a fantastic job with him. And then until you've had a child that has some struggles like that, you don't understand and you don't know. But Brenda, you got a whole church full of people that are behind you. And if you're not, you're not like the rest of us. You're just not like the rest of us. A church with a heart. I think of even some of those that, not the learning disabled, but even those with the physical handicaps of life. I thank God for our deaf people back here. I don't think my deaf ministry is all that Brother Ken Davis and I want it to be, but we're working at it because we want the deaf people in this area to have a church where they go. And though they cannot hear my voice, they can hear his hands. And I want them to know that their preacher loves them, and that they have a church that loves them. And do me a favor, don't be afraid to greet them. You say, I don't know sign language. They understand a smile. They understand a handshake. They would also understand it if you'd all wave at them for a second back there so they know we're talking about them. They're a special group of people. I think of those that come in our wheelchairs. You know, I think, do you all know Steve and Linda Barber? If you don't, you ought to. What good people they are. They help gather bus attendants. Brother Steve goes down and speaks at the rescue mission every once in a while. Just special, special, special people. You say, I've never met them. Well, they're an important part of the backbone of the church around here. And somebody doesn't have to know you for them to be important. I hope you realize that. A church with a heart, a church with a heart. Not just a heart, but largeness of heart. The Bible says in Psalm 33, verse number 2, it says, praise the Lord with the harp, sing unto him with the psaltery and the instruments of 10 strings. And it goes on to talk about singing hearts. I want a church with largeness of heart for the widows and the widowers. You know, earlier this morning when I was praying for this church service, I looked at my table in our dining room and I thought there'll be some ladies that will sit this morning and have their coffee alone because their husbands have passed on. And to you lonely ladies, I want you to know there's a church that cares about you and we're interested in you, and we can't care for all of the lack, but you're important here and we love you and you're somebody to us. Nobody sees you visit the cemetery alone. But we know you go. And we love you. I want you to know that you're a part of a church that has largeness of heart. And think of the grieving, those that are mourning, those that have lost loved ones to death. Brother Smith, I remember one day, and those of you that do not know Dr. Don Smith, he was fine, faithful pastor of this church for 35 years, one of the most honorable men on the face of the earth. One day, he and I were talking a little, and it was my honor and privilege to become the pastor of this church when he's never retired. He's preaching probably as much now as he ever has, but when I had the privilege of becoming the pastor of the church as he stepped away. One day I saw the list of all the people that you'd done funerals for. And it was a boy, it was a massive list of people in those 35 years. And here's what I thought. I thought, I'll probably never do that many funerals if I live to be 100. And I've been the pastor of this church for 6 years. And we've said goodbye to over 60 people. Our hearts here never totally recuperate. I'm thinking of Loretta Wells, who lost her daddy just recently, and then the others. I look back at Mrs. Cave, and I think of Mrs. Burris and the Knipes and Tina Segura and Mo Payton and the Leonard family, and I shouldn't have started listing, but I could go on and on. Yesterday afternoon, we were golfing, and my phone rang, and I got a call about a boy that used to go to our school, Timmy Croson, and he had passed away, and I thought, not another one. I'm sure, to the Kelvingtons, I'm sure I've prayed for 2 hours for Timmy's mom and dad and Lauren and the family. I wanted so bad to take the pain away. I want a church that has largeness of heart. And I don't tell you that to depress you. I tell you that because there are people that are hurting. There are people that need us. There are people that need us to, hey, stay right with God. Somebody needs you. Somebody needs you to do your part. Somebody needs you to love them. Those of you that have lost loved ones, I know you still hurt. I know you do. Arlene, I think of you often. What a warrior. What a tough lady. Watched a couple children go to be with the Lord. We've not forgotten that you hurt. We've not forgotten. Largeness of heart. Largeness of heart. God said, it said there in 1 Kings 4:29, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much. And somehow it seems as if when we browse through the Bible, we always figure out that Solomon was, he had wisdom and that Solomon had understanding, but it did not stop there. It says that God had given him largeness of heart. Largeness of heart. I want a church, and a church with a heart, but a church with largeness of heart. So I'm a visitor here today, Brother Owens. I came to see what it's all about. And so you know that happens a lot. People hear about our church. People come and they want to see what's going on around here. What's the action all about? What's the excitement all about? Ah, the new parking lots and the new building and all the buses and the traffic and the parking and what's happening out there. A church is going through an experience called large and enlarging of the heart. The largeness of heart. We want largeness of heart for the bus kids and largeness of heart for those on the mission field and those that do not know Christ and largeness of heart for those that are hurting and largeness of heart for the lost and largeness of heart for the family and largeness of heart for our veterans and those that have mental challenges of life and largeness of heart for the widows and the widowers and largeness of heart for the grieving. Could I ask you a private and a personal question? How's your heart? Teenager, are you experiencing largeness of heart? I promise you, we'd do away with some rebellion if largeness of heart were your case. Folks, let me recommend that you take the sin out of your life as a born-again Christian. That sin will hinder your heart work. So many times we sin because we're self-centered. We sin because it pleases us. We sin because it's something we want to do. It's something that we want. It's something that we want to experience. But folks, as Christians, our life is not all about us. Our life is about other people. Ask God to do something with your heart. The Bible says in Job 23, verse number 16, it says, "For God maketh my heart soft." Soft. How soft is your heart? Is it pliable? I could fix your marriage this morning if we could just get some largeness of heart in that relationship. We need some softness of heart. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse number 32, I will run the way of the commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. I want to recommend a prayer to every Christian here that has any desire to do something with your life for God. Why don't you pray and say, God, enlarge my heart. But I'm going to give you a little warning. If you ask, I don't know what you'll go through to have it softened. I don't know what you'll go through to have it expanded. But whatever that is, it would be worth it. Largeness of heart. You say, well, why should I do that? Why should I want largeness of heart? Why would I want a soft heart? Why in the world, Brother Owens, would I want a heart for them dirty old bus kids? Why would I want largeness of heart for missions and missionaries that I don't even know? Why would I dare want to get myself emotionally involved with somebody that's hurting? I've got enough problems of my own. Why would I want largeness of heart for lost people? Why would I want largeness of heart for the family or the veterans or those folks that are mentally challenged? Why would I want that? Why would I need to develop largeness of heart for the widows or for the grieving? I'll tell you why. Because the Bible says in 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not upon his countenance, on the height of his stature, because I refuse him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. See, what you really are is what your heart is. You can fool all of us with your outside appearance. God sees you. He does not look at what's going on the outside, the front that you put up for man. But the Lord looketh on the heart. God sees past the facade. And he looks right down inside you. God knows your heart. And it's not enough that you be a member of a church with largeness of heart. You should ask God to enlarge your heart. We were standing there, it was in a store. There were three or four people standing around. I was talking to one and said, why don't you come visit our church? And they asked me the question, what kind of church is it that you got out there? My mind raced, and somehow the words came out, I think it's a church with largeness of heart. And I'm very pleased that that's the kind of church I'm a part of. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to personally invite you to Him. I want you to know that Jesus loves you. I want you to know that Jesus died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. I want you to know that God does not want you to go to hell, and hell was not created for man. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. And if you go there, you will go there and virtually be an intruder. But if you reject Jesus Christ as Savior, you'll have to go there. But God really expected you wouldn't do that. God was expecting you to trust Christ as Savior. I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm not asking you to turn over a new leaf. I'm asking you to do this, to realize you're a sinner, to realize there's a penalty for your sin and that Jesus Christ paid that penalty. He paid it with His death, His burial, and resurrection. And if you will simply turn to Jesus Christ would be willing to save you today. We have people in our church that in a matter of a few minutes could show you quickly how to be born again. But I believe there are people sitting under the sound of my voice on this day that you do not know if you died today you'd go to heaven. Well, you're sitting in a church that has largeness of heart. We didn't bring you here today to entertain you, to try to impress you. We brought you here today to say that we love you, and if you're not saved, you need to get saved. Is there anybody here that would say, I'm not saved? If I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. If you're like that and you say, I'm not saved and I need to be, pray for me, preacher, I will. If you'll raise your hand, I'm not going to embarrass you. Say, I need to be born again. I'm not saved. If you'll raise your hand, good, I see that hand. Somebody else, you say, I'm not saved. I need to be born again. Good, I see that hand. God bless you. Who else? Good, I see that hand. Someone else, you say, I'm not saved. Good, I see that hand. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you. Thank you. Someone else. There have been many hands raised. There have been hands raised in the balcony, the north side, the south side of the auditorium. There have been hands raised toward the front and toward the back. Let me say to those of you that raised your hands, here's what we're going to do in a moment. I'll pray for you. Indeed, I will, just like I promised. But there are some of you, you're not saved, and even some that didn't raise your hand. Here's what's going to happen. In a second, I'm going to signal to the instrumentalists. They'll begin to play. We'll all stand in a moment. I'll tell you when. We'll have our heads bowed, our eyes closed. The choir will begin to sing. If you're not saved, we're going to have what is called an altar call. What would happen is people would leave their seat. They would walk toward the front. The pastoral staff or deacons, there'll be people standing down front. They'll be standing at the end of each aisle. And if you're not saved, you walk up to one of those and say, I'd like to be saved. And we'll take a Bible and show you God's plan of salvation where you could trust Him as Savior. It's very simple. Others will be coming. You will not be coming by yourself. There have been many raise their hand. You come as God has spoken to your heart today. Don't be embarrassed. If there's somebody you're with and maybe they don't come, that's okay. You come anyway, but don't come by yourself. If you're sitting and you say, I'm a little awkward in the pew here and I would have to step over someone, that's okay. You just say, excuse me. They'll step out of the road. So those that are unsaved, we invite you. There's somebody here today, you have a burden, you have a heartache. Some of the things that I discussed today, you say, I'm so glad I'm a part of a church that has largeness of heart because some of those hurts and pains affect me. But who here would say, Brother Owens, God has spoken to my heart today in a very, very special way. Would you raise your hand? God's spoken to me. God bless you. You may put those hands down. Look, if you've been saved and you've never made it public, or you've been saved and never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, we welcome you. If you've been saved and baptized after your salvation by immersion and you're looking for a church like ours, we invite you to come and join membership. And I think there are some in here, you need largeness of heart. You're so caught up in your own little kingdom, in your own little world, you don't hurt when other people hurt. Are you a contributor to the reputation of largeness of heart for the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church? You see, it's not the building that can have largeness of heart. It's the people. And if you're a part of the people, that you ought to be a part of the largeness of heart. Some of you need to come down here and get on your knees at this altar and say, God, help me. Help me to have largeness of heart. Some of you have never used the altar. Maybe you ought to come to this altar and say, God, I want largeness of heart. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play at this moment. Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.